Be authentic as church. Show them love as church. Show them how big and wonderful God is as church. Yeah, and just get on with it. It's fantastic. Really recommend it. This is the Barnstormer. J.C. Ryle, I bet Andy knows J.C. Ryle. He was a bishop that lived in the Victorian era of Liverpool, which is not too far away. And I read this, it only took me 30 minutes. But wow, what a book. If you want to know about happiness, it's a Barnstormer. It's amazing what Jesus thinks about happiness. Read it, get it. We'll have to fight for it at the end. And the same one is J.C. Ryle, Holiness. Have you ever read that one, Andy? Andy Parr, thumbs up, Holiness. Yeah, we don't talk much about holiness in church. It's not a great popular subject. But actually, God created us as a people to be a holy priesthood. Yeah, a holy priesthood. So if you want to know about holiness, one of the best chapters I've ever read about assurance in God. Yeah, if you want to know what that means, read this book. Yeah, so I'm going to put these at the back, but these are fantastic books. Great, read them. You're looking at me worried, Michelle. Open your Bibles, or get your iPhones. We're going to go to chapter 6, Luke chapter 6. We've been working our way through Luke. And Luke is spectacular. It's a spectacular gospel. And we had the baptisms last week, but we were having a bit of a break. But Luke, I'm so excited about preaching through this scripture and the words of Jesus. But last week we looked at the kind of halfway through verses 17 of Luke chapter 6. And Jesus was teaching the crowds and his disciples, and he was teaching them. And he was basically saying, the Christian life is tough. The Christian life is tough. You are going to have tears. There are going to be times when you are deprived. There is going to be times of hunger and difficulty. There are going to be times, if you are a disciple of Jesus, where people mock you, people exclude you, people hurt you, people curse you. But Jesus says, the good news is, he says you're going to be blessed, 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 you're going to be blessed. Not necessarily in this life, but you will be blessed in this life, but you have blessings to come because the kingdom of God is yours. Is that exciting? Who's having a tough time? Who's had a tough time? If you're having a tough time, yeah, when there's tears, you're going to be blessed if you trust in Jesus. And then he goes, if your priorities or riches now, this is the bad news, what sorrow? What sorrow? He says, if you are after purely comfort and prosperity now, he says, what sorrows? He says, if you're just after happiness and having a good time, you'll find happiness in what this dude says in the Bible. But if you're trying to find it in other things, in partying, or just living a comfortable life, or long holidays, or whatever, what sorrows, he says. If your main priority in life is praise from man now, and fame and power and fortune, what sorrows? It's tough, weren't it? But it's true. Jesus is overthrowing idols, the idols of money and power, and he's saying true happiness is found in me. And we get up to verse 27. Here we go. So I just want to check before we do these verses, yeah, and do this piece of scripture. Put your hand up if you believe that the scriptures are the word of God. That's good. That's a good start. Put your hand up if you are a follower of Jesus and a disciple of Jesus. Brilliant. You're smiling now. You won't in a minute. Yeah? Okay. Put your hand up if you believe what Jesus says. That's pretty much all of you. We'll not do a count like the Labour Party didn't do, do we? But that's all of you. Yeah, well, this is for you. This is what Jesus says. And we're going to be looking at we're doing the Alpha Course, and these next verses are acknowledged as some of the greatest teaching ever made by a man. But he wasn't a man, because it was the kind of things that God says. Yeah, it's the kind, because he did, because God did say this. It's sublime, is this teaching. Yeah, it's some of the greatest teaching ever. So I'm going to read it. Read it in your Bibles. Read it in Farsi if you want to follow it. But it's from verse 27. And you've all acknowledged that you're followers of Jesus. You believe the word of God is true. Yeah, and this is the word of God. So here we go. The words of Jesus. But to you who are willing to listen, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who hurt you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, offer the other cheek also. If someone demands your coat, offer your shirt also. Give to anyone who asks. And when things are taken away from you, don't try to get them back. Do to others as you would like them to do to you. If you love only those who love you, why should you get credit for that? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good only to those who do good to you, why should you get credit? Even sinners do that much. And if you lend money only to those who can repay you, why should you get credit? Even sinners will lend to other sinners for a full return. Love your enemies. Do good to them. Lend to them without expecting to be repaid. Then your reward from heaven will be very, very great. And you will truly be acting as children of the Most High. For he is kind to those who are unthankful and wicked. You must be compassionate, just as your Father is compassionate. Lord Jesus, I thank you so much for these words. Lord, just fill me with your Holy Spirit and let me just expound these for your glory and for your grace. Amen. I want to put this in Jesus' teaching is in the context of grace. And I just want to make it absolutely clear that you are saved by grace through faith and not through your good deeds. Yeah, you are saved by faith through grace and not by your good deeds. And you are saved not through the good things that you've done, because this is Jesus' teaching. You are saved and your lives are salvaged for the good things that God has in store for you. Yeah, so if you do all this, you will not enter heaven. Yeah, but you are saved for this. Yeah, and actually this is, if you want to live the life that Jesus and God the Father has for you, this is what his teaching is. So I want to make that absolutely clear. Yeah, you are saved for the good things that God has for us. But he starts, verse 27, he says, but to you who are willing to listen, are you listening this morning? Are you listening? I say, love your enemies. Now, when I looked at this, I thought, oh no, there's got to be some real technical thing in Greek. There's got to be a way out of this, yeah, to not to love your enemies. So I looked up the word enemy in the dictionary, and I just thought, oh, maybe there's a get-out clause with this. But the English dictionary says, an enemy is a person who is actively opposed or hostile to someone or something. Yeah, and then I thought, oh, well, that's the English dictionary. In the Greek, it'll mean something else, in fairness. So we'll go check out what the Greek says and what actually it means in the original language. So I checked out the Greek in what Jesus was saying. Unfortunately, chaps, there is no shadow of a doubt. The Greek word is ekthros, which means the personal enemy. And also means to hate. Ethros means hateful, and as a noun, it means adversary, enemy, foe. So you can't get out of it. Yeah, you can't, it means, Jesus means your enemy. He means love your enemy. There's no get out clause. And I want you this morning, this is going to be very, very uncomfortable. I want you to picture somebody who's hurt you, somebody that's done something really potentially awful to you, somebody who's been spiteful to you, somebody who may have not, doesn't care about you, is horrible to you, somebody you just don't want to be in the same room with because they're horrible. I want you to picture that person. I want you to picture in your mind an enemy. A personal enemy. And Jesus, that person that you may have in your mind, Jesus is saying, love that person. And he's not saying lovey-dovey love. He's talking about agape love, which is the love that 1 Corinthians 13 talks about, which is patient and kind and not jealous or boastful or proud or rude or doesn't demand its own way. It's hard love. It's loving even when the other person doesn't love you back. Have you got that person and you've got that picture? I did it before this. It was hard. It was really, really hard. It was brutal. Jesus is saying, love your enemy. Are you listening? Agape love is hard enough to do with your family and to your friends, innit? And with your family. So the kids were arguing yesterday over like what movie to watch or whatever, and I wasn't patient with them, and I did do a special Basil Fawlty dad thing and went crazy with them. Yeah, but they're my family. Yeah, it's hard enough to agape, to love sometimes my family. It's hard enough sometimes to love my friend, isn't it? Sometimes, because people do weird stuff, don't they? People just accidentally hurt you, even if they don't want to. It's really, really hard. But Jesus is saying, love your enemy. Jesus doesn't say, love your enemy when they've apologized. Jesus doesn't say, love your enemy when they've repented. Jesus doesn't say, love your enemy whenever he sorted it all out and he stopped doing whatever he's doing. He's saying, love your enemy. Has Jesus lost the plot? That's really hard, isn't it? It's really, really hard. That's what Jesus is saying. And then Jesus goes on to point out three practical things you can do to your enemy. Yeah? My enemy, when I was thinking about him, I wanted to punch him in the face. But Jesus doesn't say that. This is what he says. He says, love your enemy, do good to those who hate you. Actively do good to those who hate you. That's really hard, isn't it? Actively do good. Active kindness. There's a story of a soldier. He was a young guy and he was a Christian. And he joined the army when they were doing, when did they push him into the army? It's Second World War. And basically what happened is he was praying in his bed at night. And he had a really awful sergeant who was in the dorm with him as he was praying at night. The sergeant got his boots and he threw his boots at this young soldier and it cut his head and stopped him praying. But then after he picked himself up, wiped himself down and carried on praying. And in the morning, the horrible sergeant found his boots clean, shiny, and next to his bed. That's the kind of goodness that Jesus is talking about. Could you have done that? I couldn't do that on my own, in my own strength. Through the Holy Spirit, you can. It's what Jesus is saying. Do you you know what? I think this is authentic Christianity as well. I don't think the outside world just want to see bright lights, good music, posh buildings, posh stuff. They want to see Christians love their enemy. That's radical Christian life, isn't it? Radical love. Next thing he says, bless those who curse you. Bless those who curse you. Has anybody ever just given you a mouthful of swear words and have a real do at you? What's your natural reaction? Somebody parked in a really stupid place near my child's school. He parked clearly on like a double yellow line, right? Okay. And then somebody had a do it of him parking a double yellow line, and he got out and he gave everybody a mouthful, including me. I was stood there with my dog and he's shouting at everybody. My first reaction wasn't to bless him. My first reaction was to report him to school. But actually Jesus says, those who curse you, bless them. That's what he says. The next one he says, pray for those who hurt you. Wow. Pray for those who hurt you. Put your hand up if you've been hurt by somebody over your life. Jesus says, pray for those people. Really hard, isn't it? Really, really hard. But actually, this is Jesus giving you the ways to live. I think if you prayed for those who hurt you, I think there'd be a freeing thing, definitely. I think it's working through the Holy Spirit. That's tough. Pray for those who hurt you. It gets worse, chaps. Here he goes. If someone slaps you on one cheek, Jesus goes on, offer the other cheek. Also, if someone demands your coat, offer your shirt also. Give to anyone who asks. And when things are taken away from you, don't try and get them back. Do to others as you would like them done to you. Hold on, Jesus, but it's all right. It's all right you saying this 2,000 years ago, but you don't understand the 21st century. The 21st century doesn't work like this, does it? Does it? Give to anyone who asks of you. You don't. There's problems like crime, and there's problems like drug addiction, all sorts of things like this. You don't get the 21st century. No, Jesus says, give to all who ask of you. Hard, isn't it? It's a little bit outrageous, really. I was having a cup of coffee with another church leader from Accrington, bless him. And as we were walking out of the coffee shop, you would have seen them. There's guys in Blackburn begging all over, isn't there? Yeah, they're begging. And unfortunately, as I was walking back to our car, I was with this other church leader, and this guy shouted, he's called Sean, bless him, we'll call it Sean, and he was saying, have you got any spare change? And then you're caught, aren't you? You're like, what do I do? Because I'm with another church leader, and this guy's asking me, what do I do? So past my better judgment, and I'm not saying, I went over, and I didn't have any change, so I gave him a fiver. All right, okay. But mainly gave him a fiver so he'd leave me alone. Yeah? Have you ever done that?
No.
Yeah?
It
is the worst thing you can do. I'm not saying do this, okay? But it was in the moment, okay? But actually, God really rebuked me because I was doing it purely to look good. Yeah? Okay. And then God said, spend 10 minutes talking to this guy. Find out about him. Yeah? Pray for him. Yeah? Talk to him. And he's called Sean, and he probably will spend the money on spice. I've told him, I told him not to spend his money on spice, but he probably will. But actually, I got 10 minutes to pray for him and minister him in Jesus' name, and he knows that Christians are gracious. What part of giving blesses God's heart? Is it how it's received? So I don't know what he's going to do with that money that I gave him. Or does the part of giving and graciousness and kindness, is that part that glorifies God? Tough, isn't it? Jesus says, I'm not holding myself up as a fantastic example here, this is not, but God, Jesus says, give to all who ask for you, of you. He goes on at verse 32, if you love only those who love you, why should you get credit for that? Even sinners love those who love them, and do you do good only to those who do good to you? Why should you get credit? Even sinners do that much. And if you lend money only to those who can repay you, why should you get credit? Even sinners will lend to other sinners for a full return. That really challenged me, because like, I love having people around my house. Fantastic, I love hospitality. But do you know who I invite? I tend to invite people I like. I tend to hang around with people I like and think myself really, really good. Jesus is not telling you to do that. He's saying, what credit do you expect for that? Even sinners love those who are nice to them. We're called to lead a radical Christian life. Yeah? Think about who you invite, who you hang about with. And then he goes on, verse 35, love your enemies, do good to them, lend to them without expecting to be repaid. Then your reward from heaven will be very great, and you will be truly acting as children of the Most High. For he is kind to those who are unthankful and wicked, and you must be compassionate just as your Father is compassionate. Why is Jesus asking us to do this stuff? Why is he asking us as his people to do this stuff? Well, he's asking us to do this stuff because it reflects the Father's heart for people and the Father's heart for us. We sang it, you're a good, good Father. Yeah, we're just reflecting God the Father and Jesus as his people. You were his enemy. I was his enemy. And God showered his grace and mercy on me. And he does it to sometimes people who don't give him anything back. So before I was Christian, the sun still shined on me. Yeah, God still gave me good things. Every good thing that I have is from God the Father. Yeah, I was his enemy. And then Jesus says, and you will be truly acting as children of the Most High God. Do you want to act like children of the Most High God? For he is kind to those who are unthankful and wicked. You must be compassionate just as your Father is compassionate. Do you want to act as God's children? Do you love God the Father? Do you love God? Do you love God? Then we need to love people to build God's kingdom. And actually, I think when we do this, we will live a more blessed and fulfilled life. Yeah, so watching, who knows who Corrie ten Boom was? Corrie ten Boom was somebody who was in a concentration camp. She got arrested by the Germans for hiding Jewish people. But she was really badly tortured, and her father and her sister died. And it was horrible in the concentration camp. And there's a story of a time where she met one of the guards who had tortured her in the concentration camp had come to one of her meetings to hear her talk. And she couldn't forgive him. She couldn't forgive him. If you listen to the interview of her, she couldn't forgive him. But she prayed to God the Father and asked for the Holy Spirit to come. And she prayed and she forgave him in her heart. And he was a brother in Christ. Yeah? She reflected God the Father's heart in that. She was a true child of God. It gets worse. No, it doesn't. It gets good. It's good. Verse 37. Do not judge others and you will not be judged. Do not condemn others or it will come back against you. Forgive others and you will be forgiven. Give and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more running over and poured into your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back. It's a popular one with preachers, that one. Do not judge. judging somebody, and I love this, is saying that if you had the same deck of cards and the same hands in your life as somebody else, you would have played a better hand in life. That's what judgment is. The guy sat, there was talk about, called Sean, outside Lloyd's Bank. That could have been me. So easy. And I could sit down, I could judge him and say, what an idiot, a mess he's made out of his life. I don't know what the situation is with him. Who am I to judge him? Who am I to judge you? It's by God's grace and mercy that I'm here. Nothing else. There's a difference between judging and convicting as well. So Jesus convicts people. He will judge people. But actually, we need to tell people the right and wrong way that Jesus says to live. Because they're good, because it's better. It's a better life. Don't condemn others or it will come back against you. He said it. It's in there. This one. Forgive others and you will be forgiven. Forgive others and you will be forgiven. Words of Jesus. As a Christian people, as a people of God, we need to forgive. We need to forgive. We need to forgive. That's really, really hard. It's really, 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 really hard. But do you trust Jesus? Do you trust his words? He says you need to forgive. You have been forgiven. So if you're a child of God, we need to forgive. And actually, when you forgive, you will experience real freedom. Do you believe that? So Jesus says, give and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full. Pressed down, shaken together to make room for more. Running over and poured into your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back. We normally use this verse before collection time, don't we? It's a good one. And responsible giving. But Jesus is using this in the context of your enemy and forgiveness. He's saying, give. You might not get what you give in this life, back in this life. You might not. But you certainly will, if you trust and love Jesus, get it back in the future and eternity. Do you believe that? Outrageous, unreasonable grace. That's what Jesus is talking about. He's saying, forgive your enemies. It's like, it's crazy. Crazy, crazy, crazy. Outrageous. How much do you trust Jesus? Because this is painful for some of you. How much do you trust Jesus? How much do you trust Jesus? I'm going to stop there. There's lots more to do. I'm going to miss, because I think that's enough. Actually, I think these are words of Jesus. Do you know what? Jesus loved us. Do you trust Jesus to say things that are going to hurt us, or things that are going to bring you life and freedom and love? How much do you trust Jesus? Put your hand up if you trust Jesus. This is what he was saying. Yeah, this is how to free yourself from all sorts, from strongholds. Yeah. Jesus is God. He didn't say these things for fun. He said them because they were true. They were true. I'm going to pray in a minute, but actually, if you've been hit, I was really hit when I was preaching through it, working through it, but actually, if you're struggling to love your enemy, I want you to pray, yeah, and help. Ask God for His Holy Spirit so that you bless them, that you pray for them, that you could get, if given an opportunity, actively kind to them. If you're struggling to forgive, Jesus says you need to forgive. Jesus says that you need to, if there's unforgiveness in your heart, you need to forgive. You need to forgive. It's really hard. It's going to upset some of you, but you need to forgive. I want to pray for the Holy Spirit to come and fill you and help you for His glory to forgive. If you're really struggling about giving or material things or holding on and you're worried about stuff and angry at somebody for not returning to you what you feel they should be returning to you, yeah, I want to pray for you. Yeah, I want to pray for you. And I want to ask God to come in His Holy Spirit and help you have faith. Have faith. Have I hit anybody this morning? If I have, do you want to stand? I've hit myself. Have I hit? Has Jesus hit anything this morning? Do you, anybody need to forgive? Anybody need to trust God more? It's hard, but remember the last bit, he says,